It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple releases new iPhone 16e. Siri overhaul gets delayed again. Apple pledges $500 billion in U.S. investment, including a factory in Texas. Apple TV app now on Android. Speculation on what's coming to the Apple Watch Ultra 3. And Steve Jobs may soon be on a U.S. coin. Plus, the new trailer for Andor Season 2. Updates on Notes and Journal apps, and Only Murders in the Building show. This and much, much more. It's all coming up next on the Apple Watchcast. This is the Apple Watchcast, episode 487, recorded Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. I want all the nits.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast. Apple Watchcast, a podcast dedicated to the Apple Watch.
It's time for the Apple Watchcast, where we talk about any and everything Apple Watch, Apple's most personal and healthy device yet, and the number one watch in the world. I'm your host, Tom, and joining me is Vincent. Welcome to the show, Vincent.
I'm here.
Yes, you are. You made it.
I haven't left this seat in a while, but I'm here.
Yeah, okay. As long as you're here and your mic's turned on, everything's good. Also joining us, of course, is Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Will you ever introduce me first?
Never. Nope. Sorry. It's by seniority. So
it's okay. Yeah, I get it.
Well, wait a minute. If I take all the times Vincent couldn't make it.
It's true.
And you did.
All right, fair enough.
We might be even here. In fact, I'll let one of you guys intro the show, so I don't have to be first.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh, we'd have to. Great. Yeah, there we go. I opened my mouth, didn't I?
Okay, next episode, you guys are going to take over. I'm just going to be a guest. How's that?
Oh, boy.
Right. Okay. Oh, boy.
You ready for a 10-minute show?
Yeah, sure. 10 minutes. You know, we probably should have done that a long time ago. Had them much shorter than what they've been. But
it's the mini.
The mini.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
I like
right.
that.
That's right.
Yeah. Welcome to the Apple Watchcast Mini. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of getting that way, isn't it? News-wise, don't you feel that...
but it's still an hour and a half long.
Well, I know, because we just end up chatting, because we like to chat.
Right,
but,
right.
Honestly, the news and things that are really just focused on the watch, it's about a 10-minute show every 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's quiet now, yeah.
It's quieted down quite a bit. And, you know, we got maybe, what, 2 or 3 stories in the news that are about the watch. The rest are about Apple, which kind of relate to it, but not directly the watch. And that's been the case for quite a while.
It has been, very much so.
Yeah. So what do you think the product has matured? Is that what's happened?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah. Too much they can do with it.
Mm-hmm. The innovation is kind of where it is. And, although we have a story about the phone, the foldable phone, which if it looks anything like the picture, I started thinking about, remember how, well, we'll get to this. Let me get to this. We'll get to the story. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
tease it. Okay.
I'm teasing it. It's like a TV show teaser, right?
Right. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
We've come a long way in what, 10 years that we've been doing the show.
Has it been that long? Holy mackerel.
This is our 10th year. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of, I could probably look up and find the actual date of the first episode, but.
Well, go ahead. You know, if you haven't listened more than what, if you've listened more the whole 10 years, you know, I wasn't originally on the show. I can tell you where I was for episode number one. I know exactly where I was.
Oh, you listened to episode number one?
Well, not live, but probably.
No. It wasn't live.
Yes.
Yeah.
I listened to everything. About 3 weeks after you guys started, I was driving from Atlanta to Knoxville because my plane was canceled and it was a Friday night and I had to get home. It was 3 a.m. and I'm like, I need to stay awake and I needed to listen to something. And I'm like, oh, an Apple Watch podcast. And I turned it on. It was you guys.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah. So I was like 3 a.m. driving back, you know, in my car. And that's the first time I listened to you guys.
Wow.
See, I wonder,
I'm looking on the website here, which I have not scrolled back. I think they're all here.
Mm-hmm. I think they are. Yeah, you can go back and get them all.
Single episode is. I'm scrolling back. It's not stopping me. Hold on. I'm up to episode 50. Hold on. Episode 1. You know what the title was? The Time Has Come.
Oh.
March 11th. So we are coming up on the 10th anniversary.
Yes. Yes.
March 11th,
right.
2015. Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy. and the number of episodes, there's only a couple. I know there's a lot of podcasts with more episodes than us, but I listen to a lot of podcasts. I've only run across two that have had more episodes than us.
Yeah.
One is like with Dale Earnhardt Jr., believe it or not. He's on like 600 episodes of his podcast. It's quite amazing. What was the other one? The other one was called...
Probably This Week in Tech or MacBreak Weekly. They're in the thousands. Yeah.
Yeah, not counting those, I guess. The Bowery Boys. The Bowery Boys. That's another one I listen to, and they're like at 600.
Wow.
So I know there's a lot out there that are more than us, but most of them aren't.
Okay, the first 10... And I'm sorry, episode 8. It took us to episode 8 to get the watch.
I remember that.
Because that one is titled... It's titled The Watch Has Landed. That was April 26th. So, okay, the titles of the shows. The first one was The Time Has Come. The next one was The Reverse Episode. Then Keep Me Out of It. Then Watch Me. Then Apple's Magical Font. And then, what is this? Don't mention the champagne. I don't know why that even means.
The gold watch? Was that when we were looking at that?
Maybe. Yeah. Pre-order day. Something about the gold edition.
You're so much better at titles back then.
Yeah, you're wearing it wrong. And then the watch has landed, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Dang, that's a long time.
It took us 10 episodes to come up with a different name for one of the rings. It's called Complete Your Caffeine Circle. But yeah, I am kind of blown away that this website, that they're all on here. That is crazy. First app, bonus app.
I would say that how many apps have we reviewed? 1,000? No, maybe not 1,000. Because we stopped doing that about 100 episodes ago, right?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. And then we started doing just bonus app or crap episodes here.
All right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Let's say we're on show 487. Let's say we did app reviews for 300 of them? And there was three per, so 900 apps we reviewed?
It's probably 1,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Started running out of apps.
I have a little tear. This is, memory lane, man.
10 years. It is kind of crazy. And we're coming up on 500. So, and I think looking at the schedule, it's going to be sometime this summer when we hit the 500. But yeah, anyway, we do have some news to talk about. You want to get to that?
Yeah. Might as well do that. Just went 10 minutes and we're well into the show and now we're starting the news.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to send us off track. All right, Apple had an actual announcement and a product release here recently this week. The iPhone 16e now available for pre-order. What do you think of the name change? It was the iPhone SE, and they've gotten rid of that. Now it's folded into the actual number of the phone. And I assume it's going to be that going forward, right? We'll have the 18E or whenever they come out with a new one,
Right.
Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
What was it? What was the SE stand for? Special edition?
I think it was initially. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now the E is what?
I don't know.
Edition.
I think it's E for economy.
Economy?
It's the economy phone. It's cheaper.
Yeah, right. It's cheaper. I mean, I'm not going to talk about what's not in the phone, so it does kind of make it economy.
A little bit, but let's talk first about what's in it. Oh, by the way, the taking pre-orders now, the phone's supposed to arrive Friday, this Friday the 28th. It'll hit the Apple stores that day too, so you can pre-order it right now. starts at what, $5.99? $5.99. So it joins the iPhone lineup with a 6.1-inch OLED screen as the notch, Face ID for biometric authentication. There's an action button instead of a mute switch, and now it's USB-C instead of Lightning for charging and data transfer. It's got an A18 chip with 8 gigs of RAM, which is enough between the two for complete support of Apple Intelligence. They had to bring it to that level, right? Because then they can say all of their phones will do that, if you have the newer ones. It does feature something new for Apple, the C1 modem, which is the first cellular modem designed by Apple. And they claim it's the most power-efficient modem ever on an iPhone. Well, of course. Paired with the A18 chip, it means that it also has the best battery life ever on a 6.1-inch screen iPhone. Video playback up 26 hours. It has a single 48-megapixel Fusion camera that has an integrated telephoto option. So high-resolution 24-megapixel photos, but you can opt for 48. Because it's integrated, you can zoom in without losing quality, right? It's not using a separate lens for it. It's just, I guess, through math, it's making it look good. Let's see, it supports HDR, portrait mode, night mode. I mean, it's checking all these boxes here.
Good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, 12-megapixel selfie camera on the front, autofocus. Here's what is missing, MagSafe. But it will Qi charge wirelessly, just not MagSafe. Okay. It does not have an ultra wideband chip, so it doesn't have precision finding like AirTags and AirPods and for Find My, all that stuff. Starts at $5.99 for 128 gigs of storage. Compare that to the previous model was $4.79 for 128 gigs. So it has gone up a little over $100 in price. But when was the last one out? And what have things increased in price anyway, right?
Is this a juiced up like iPhone 11? If you go back to that? I mean, I'm surprised it doesn't include MagSafe.
I know. It had to be a cost issue, right? Or space.
Yeah.
Right.
It's weird. It is kind of weird that they didn't do that. But anyway,
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the difference between MagSafe and Qi.
Well, Qi will charge it by sitting on the MagSafe, keeps it perfectly in place because of the magnets in it. You're never going to set it off accidentally and not charge. You can't add the wallets and the other MagSafe cases and all that stuff to it.
Yeah. So you won't have that that nightstand mode. You can turn it outside. Oh,
yeah, you won't. You're right. We'll not be able to do that. And it looks like you only get two colors. Is that right?
That's not bad.
Black and white?
I mean, you're going to cover it with the case anyway, so who cares?
Yeah.
This is true.
But I always thought the lower-end phone, they would add all the bright colors and stuff, too. You know, I guess not.
They will. That's an upgrade later.
Maybe. But you know what? I don't think there's going to be a 17E. There's going to be maybe an 18E. I don't think this is an every year upgrade, right?
That's fair.
I think it's going to be every other year at the best.
Yeah. Apple doesn't break down the which phones are sold the most, right? They just say iPhone as a category.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard to tell whether or not, I mean, I'm trying to just understand the market demand for a lower end quote unquote phone. And whether or not it is like, hey, we've got to force this refresh people to adopt it, intelligence and all that.
I kind of think the big part of that market is kids, right? The cheaper phone. That's what parents are going to buy, right? You're not going to, well, I guess parents will, but you can give your kid a $1,200 phone.
You get the hand-me-down, the two-year-old.
Yeah, right, you get the hand-me-down or you get this.
Although you can live, a kid can live without the MagSafe, but the Find My is important, is it?
Yeah, it is.
So you can't you can't find it on your phone, right?
No, you can find it. It just doesn't have the precision.
Not the precision. Okay, that's still good then, because if you're a kid, you can still track your kid within, you know, 100 yards. I think you're still okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. Go ahead.
Okay. It could be kids or older folks who don't need all the bells and whistles.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. There's a market for that. Mm. There's a big market for that. And it keeps them competitive with their competition, right?
Yeah. I need my Macs because I'm shooting cinematography here.
We're doing movies with ours. Yeah. So, you know, got to have that. God, every time I get the new phone, I'm like, because you're on the upgrade program, so am I, right?
Right, yeah.
So I'm paying the same monthly every month, doesn't matter, but I get the new phone. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking, oh, the camera in this next one's going to be what I'm going to use to do all my videos and all my, you know, for work, right? Mm-hmm. It's still kind of not quite there. Yeah. I mean, I am impressed with some of the portrait stuff, and things I'm taking are really cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe I just don't have the right gear, but I cannot replace what I do with my DSLR with this yet. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Maybe it's just flow. I can't move as quickly with it because I know the other one so well, right? Mm-hmm. If I have to shoot something, I know exactly what to do, what lens to click on, and how to do it and get what I need. With the phone, I'm like, okay, is that going to work? And then I got to test it and look at, you know, it's just the process is different. It's probably just as good now, but I mean, I just need time to work with it, I think.
I do enjoy the stabilization, though. Man.
Oh, yeah.
And
using that, what is that app from?
Blackmagic or something?
Oh, yeah. Isn't that incredible? The Blackmagic camera app? That thing is crazy good for that sort of thing. Especially the stabilization is really good.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk about, that's new. Yay. Great. New phone. Let's talk about what they got rid of when they came out with the phone. First of all, the iPhone 14. Goodbye. Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Nice to know you. No more. Isn't it crazy how right now the 16 is the new hot phone, but in a number of years, we're going to have the same story here saying goodbye to the 16.
Oh, yeah.
It's old.
Yeah. Was that the entire line of the 14?
Yeah.
Every one of them?
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy. 2 years, right? 3 years. Yeah. 2 years.
Yep. It just got the boot. But, you know, who was buying it? This is a better phone.
Right.
At a better price, probably. So that 14 and the 14 Plus are gone.
But it's not vintage yet.
I don't know. That's a good question.
No.
I thought it was 5 years for vintage or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's obsolete.
Obsolete. There you go.
Not vintage, obsolete. Okay, another thing we just said goodbye to because it was the holdout, no more lightning ports on iPhones.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to know how old your phone is? Look at the port. If it's got lightning, you have an old phone. Now you know. What else? This one surprised me. Product Red, the colorway, all the cases and all that. They're getting rid of all of that? Huh. Product Red branding.
There you go.
I wonder why. I wonder what happened. Because a lot of people love those.
Says it isn't official.
Oh, they say, but the writing's been on the wall for some time now, and apparently you can't find them anymore. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's of course,
guys. We solved HIV/AIDS.
It's over. It's done. Okay, but even if you weren't doing that program, wouldn't you just have that color? I guess you wouldn't call it Product Red, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Right.
In fact, I don't think they went far enough with it. I think they should have had like a red Mac Mini or, they should have taken it a red Apple TV, right? They could have put it in more products than just the cases and things. But,
colorful Apple TV would be kind of cool.
Yeah. It started with the iPod, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. Been around a while. We're getting rid of a lot of old legacy stuff here. SE branding, we mentioned, is out. E is now the thing. So, again, we don't know what it, what somebody joked. They said, my money is essential. And that's what the E stands for. And then this is another holdout that's no longer there. The physical home button.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last one.
The last device had a home button.
Yep. They removed it. So it's gone. So it's all Face ID now, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those things have just passed into history.
The home button. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The iPad I'm using has it still.
They're vintage.
Yeah. Yeah. You've still got the older ones that have it.
Yeah.
Really? An iPad with a home button?
Yeah, wow. My my big 19 or not my big 16-inch iPad, the first Pro.
Yeah, the Mamba Jumbo.
Yeah. That had a has a fingerprint thing.
Oh,
and,
cool.
And I mounted it on the wall and turned it into a home thing where you can see all the cameras and turn on the lights and do all that. I've used it for just that now. It's just
what's the app you use for that?
I'm just using the home app.
The home app. Oh, you just have the home app running then?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Just have it running right there.
That's one of the walls in your museum, Tom, right? Have you repurposed old Apple devices? It's on one of the walls, and that's right in the middle of it.
It's actually right off the kitchen.
So, oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
It's in an area of the house where if someone rings the doorbell, I can, without having to pull out my phone, if I just walk over to that, you know, in the kitchen right there, I can see and interact with whoever's at the front door without having to walk around to the front door. So it's just a little convenience thing. Anyway, so we got some legacy stuff gone, passed into history. All right. What else is going on? Okay. As we talk about possible tariffs here on Apple, apparently Tim Cook had a meeting with Trump, and coming out of the meeting, they made some announcements, and this is interesting. So Apple has pledged more than $500 billion with a B. So what is that for Apple? Is that a couple of days work? Maybe a week?
No, I would guess it's
is that pretty a quarters? Decent. Is that a quarter or two?
It's about a year. It's a year.
A year of profits, yeah.
A year?
Your revenue. Your revenue. Yeah, they do about 100.
No. That was profit.
It would be an entire year?
Yeah, don't they do about 125 billion a year?
Yeah.
A month, quarter. Yeah. 125 quarter, billion a quarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I thought they had more than that. Anyway, it's they've pledged $500 billion in U.S. investment, including part of that is a new Texas factory.
Yep.
And that factory is right here in Houston, Texas.
North Houston.
All right.
It's going to be in North Houston. I didn't know where it was going to be.
I heard an article that it said it's probably somewhere between here and the Woodlands.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like off 45? So they're going to, this is $500 billion the next 4 years, including 20,000 U.S. jobs. Now, what's funny about this isn't new. They've already promised this an announcement in the past. So probably it's clearly aimed hoping to get the tariff exemptions on its products. But they did describe it as the largest ever spending commitment from Apple.
Mm-hmm.
So now this new facility in Houston will manufacture servers that will help power Apple Intelligence. They're part of the private cloud compute infrastructure. It will open in next year, 2026, and get this, a footprint of more than 250,000 square feet. That's pretty big.
That's a big facility.
That's a big facility. Now, previously, these servers were assembled outside the U.S. They're also going to continue to expand data center capacity in North Carolina, Iowa, Oregon, Arizona, and Nevada. So, and they are doubling the U.S. Advanced Manufacturing Funds, which supports innovation and high-skilled manufacturing jobs across America. The fund will increase from $5 billion to $10 billion. And that fund incorporates Apple's investments, such as supporting the new TSMC fab in Arizona, which has started to make Apple silicon chips. Yes. Yeah. So.
Wow. Interesting. I had to look up 250,000 square feet factory.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know how large the gigafactory for Tesla in Texas is? 10 million square feet.
Oh, this is nothing. This is nothing. This is the break room in that building.
So you're doing the same thing, Vincent. I was doing the same thing because when I drive from where I live to visit family in Ohio, I drive by a brand new Honda battery plant for their EVs. Yeah. 3.5 million square feet.
Yeah.
That's massive, awesome. Right? So 250,000 square feet is like a chump change now.
Yeah, so it's the break room in that other facility.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
But it sounds impressive, doesn't it?
It does. It does. You know, 2005 impressive.
So Apple is also opening a new Apple Manufacturing Academy in Detroit. Experts from Apple and top universities will work with small and medium-sized businesses on how to implement AI and smart manufacturing methods in their supply chains. It's free in-person and online courses. So they're dancing is what they're doing here.
They're
tap dancing as fast as they can. We'll see what happens.
And I know where your next job is, Tom.
No. They don't. I can't do that. It's too far of a drive for me anyway. We're talking, that's an hour and a half from my house.
It's four blocks, right? Hour and a half and four blocks?
Yeah, no. Isn't that funny that you can drive over an hour and still be in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not talking about stop and go traffic. I'm talking about nonstop flow of traffic. You're just driving on a freeway for that long.
I don't know. My last experience outside of Houston and Katy, it took me, 15 minutes to go 2 miles?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, it's crazy. On our way back from our last trip just this past Sunday, we're driving through, I think it was Lafayette, Louisiana, the big bridge. It's a kind of bridge that when you get to it, you look up. It's so steep you can't really see over the top of it, right?
Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we got to the base of that, before we started to climb up, traffic had stopped. And kind of suddenly, like screeching brakes and slamming kind of thing, you know, nothing happened. Nobody got hit or whatever. And we just sat there and sat there and sat there. And this is 3 to 4 lanes of traffic, completely blocked. And eventually a policeman behind us had to stop his vehicle on the shoulder. And because of all the traffic, he physically walked up the bridge between the cars.
Dang.
To go up over the top, because apparently just over the top, there was a wreck, a car wreck, stopped the entire bridge. Took about an hour before we started moving. They had to tow everything away, I guess. But so there's a case of looking on the map, and to go that short span was an hour, you know, to go just a very, very short distance. So yeah, traffic and getting around. Time has nothing to do with it.
Oh, yeah.
And distance, those don't line up at all. All right. What else is going on? The Apple TV app is now on Android.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So, yeah, Apple TV Plus and MLS Season Pass are now available. Now, it's in the Google Play Store for Android phones and tablets. That means Android users can sign up for Apple TV Plus and ML Season Pass directly on their phone for the first time. They can log into their existing Apple account or create a new account and subscribe through Google Play Billing. Surprised Apple. That was a big concession from Apple. Let's see. Android 10 or newer devices required. However, it's limited to Apple TV Plus, ML Season Pass, and MLB Friday Night Baseball content. iTunes Store purchases and rentals are not shown in the app at all, nor can you access your previously purchased library through the app. So that's where the difference is. They said in some ways, though, it makes for a cleaner experience with a simple layout of four tabs on the phone app. Now, they've had that in the Google TV on their in their living room devices, have had that for many years, but the first time it's natively available Android phones and tablets. Kind of opening the market there a little bit. So they can now watch Severance and other things on their phone.
The reverse has been true for a while, right? You can watch Google TV on an iPhone, but like they don't have anything exclusive, right?
They don't have any original content, do they?
Yeah, no original content.
I don't think so.
They're not really a service, right? They're just a conduit, right?
Seems like it.
Yeah. So anyway, cool. Yeah.
That makes sense.
It took a while to do, I guess. All right, some sad news here. Apple Intelligence Siri overhaul has been delayed yet again. All those great things have been telling us that Siri is going to be able to. They told us this during the WWDC last summer, and we're still waiting. It's supposed to be out last year, didn't make it. It's supposed to be in 18.4. It doesn't look like it's going to make it. Might be May or later. Could be 18.5 at this point.
Yeah. I mean, AI is finicky. And, it's like, man, to live up to Apple's standards and what is it? The other article, they mentioned something about integrating with Gemini now.
Yeah, they're going to start trying to do that too. But I do kind of understand this, this is pretty critical because once Apple releases this from a product like Siri that has been complained about and not unjustifiably for a long time, they got to get it right. It's got to work or they're going to have a huge problem. And this is something that other companies have had issues with, right? They've pulled stuff, updates, right? Wasn't Google going to release something on Valentine's Day? They met and said, no, we're not going to update.
I was going to ask you that, if whether or not you know of anybody, Android folks that have used, I guess, Gemini Intelligence on there and how that's working.
I think they were going to do some huge update and they pulled it last minute because, it's tough. This is tough. I think the biggest mistake Apple made was promising this way back when, when they didn't have it quite nailed down. Because now it looks bad.
I don't know. I honestly stopped using Siri.
Really?
My action button is, well, except for turning on the lights and setting the timers.
Yeah,
but
You
know, I mean, anything that I'm going to ask, I'm going to go through GPT.
Yeah. My action button on my phone is ChatGPT. Yeah.
I do the same thing. Yeah.
Right. It's just easier. So you basically all we've got from all we allow Siri to do are very basic things.
Yeah. It's a command center at that point.
Play some music. And you hope that goes right.
Oh, you know what's most frustrating is when you talk to Siri on the iPods, my HomePod.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know who's speaking. And apparently my kid's voice and my voices are exactly the same.
Oh, that's why.
It won't do any personal requests for me. I'm like,
oh no!
Who are you? I'm like, oh man! I'm just gonna pick up my phone.
Just say your name. Your kids. That's what
I did say. Yeah, but they're like, okay, and now you got to go set personal settings up. And I'm like,
How did I do this
already?
Wow. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just being the most secure has kind of hurt Apple. In some ways, it's helped. In this type of way, it's hurt it, right? Because they're doing all of this for security reasons, right? Privacy. They're trying to keep your stuff private. And that's almost impossible to do with these LLMs, right? They've got to go out and have that request out in the world to get you the answer. Apple's, this is quite a challenge. We'll see. Still waiting.
Come on, Craig.
Yeah, come on. You can get your crack team of developers. They need to get on this. okay, Chris, you teased this in the beginning of the show. We're finally going to talk about it here. This is from Mark Gurman. Says that a foldable iPhone and another new iPhone design are coming in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
So, right now, because we just did the iPhone 16e, see, I almost said SE, didn't I? 16e. Mm-hmm. Apple has four more iPhone models launching this fall, including the ultra-thin iPhone 17 Air that we're going to see. But Mark Gurman says that 2026 may be an even bigger for the iPhone, thanks to these two new phones that are in the works. This is from Mark Gurman at Bloomberg. He says Apple is readying a skinnier iPhone for later this year, focused on finishing up development of its first foldable device for 2026. There's also another new phone design in the works for that year, I'm told.
Yeah, what is this mysterious new design?
Don't know.
Like, it's going to be a wraparound watch.
See-through glass.
I think it's going to be an exact duplicate of the very first iPhone. They're going to make it look like the old one. I don't know.
Just a throwback. That just works on AT&T.
A throwback, yeah. Yeah, what could it be? I mean, the foldable one's the most exciting one, right? I mean,
I don't know. Foldable?
Mm. Sure. Yes. I mean, they've made great strides in the quality. I mean, the foldable phones, when they first came out, were kind of, you'd see the line, right?
Yeah.
Can you quote that Christmas Vacation line? Can't see the line, can you, Russ? Right? So, yeah, it's, you can see it in every one of them. But apparently Apple has kind of fixed that.
Really?
Supposedly, yeah. Mm. At least up to their standards.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the picture, obviously, in the article is a rendition. It looks actually pretty good with the foldable phone, but I don't know how it'll look in real life. And I keep asking myself, why would I want to fold it? I'm going to unfold and fold it 50 times a day. It's extra work.
Well, the way that picture's kind of misleading, because I wouldn't fold it that way. I'd fold it vertically. So it becomes a mini iPad or an iPad mini rather than.
Yeah, that. Samsung is like that, right? The big
yeah,
one.
Yeah, give me my normal phone and let me double it, right?
Two phones.
From side to side.
Yeah.
So I can now have a nice, now I have it like an iPad with me.
So you can use it in either configuration.
I don't know. Who knows?
That would be nice, using it in both configurations, because, you know.
Well, go get an iPad mini.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. Would it cannibalize iPad mini? I would assume it would.
I saw a thing recently. They were demoing some new tech. I forget what company it was. I mean, it's all R&D, right? It was a trifold. Three.
Oh, my gosh. Don't get me started.
Oh, it was. It was amazing. They took what was like a normal phone and open this thing up to a nice big tablet and then folded it right back down and put it away. I mean, it was...
I can see that. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Everything just stretched and moved with it, the screen. I mean, it was. It almost looked like it was just CGI. It was fake, you know?
Wow.
But it was real.
Well, I think that if you can use it in the multiple configurations, that's cool. But again, if it was a trifold... Or a foldable phone, you're doubling or tripling the thickness, and what are you going to put that in your pocket? And your weight.
Yeah.
And put it in your pocket. So I think, look, to me, it's gimmicky, and they're trying to do something to sell more phones, right? Because they've maxed out on the coolness. So,
sure.
All right, I get it. If it really kicks in and people buy a lot of phones because they want a foldable phone, have at it. But
you don't want a holster anymore?
A holster. Oh, my God. I remember those.
Yep. I still see them from time to time.
Do you?
Yeah. But I went to the smaller phone. Remember, I went to the Pro instead of the Pro Max, and I'm loving it. I see the Pro Max in people's hands now. I'm like, oh, my God, that's a massive phone.
Mm.
So I've been kind of small, getting smaller, not getting larger. But, again, if you could use it in the multiple configurations, you can get a tablet and a phone. I can get it. I understand.
Right. And I also saw something recently where someone had created the thinnest foldable phone. Super thin. So even folded down, it was thinner than an iPhone. Folded in half, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's pretty impressive. So It's coming. It's getting better and better.
You can only fold and unfold three times.
Yeah, right.
Or you could say, hey, so-and-so, unfold my phone.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, it kind of exciting. I have no idea what this other new design would be.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture the cases and MagSafe charging. Oh,
yeah.
How that's all going to work. I'm like, that's weird.
But now, okay. This is, according to Mark Kerman, these rumors seem to support recent teases from Tim Cook and John Ternus, their hardware engineer, that they said that the iPhone roadmap is more ambitious than ever. So, yeah, there might be something really cool coming in 2026.
That would be neat.
Mm-hmm. So,
and you guys will be able to get it with your upgrade program.
Yeah, and double my payment. Yeah, sure.
They might.
It's always the trick when you go to upgrade is to try to keep the exact same dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and still have the right memory and the right, you know, if they haven't raised it. And
right.
Yeah, good luck with that in 2025, right? Yeah. 2026, that's impossible.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Okay, now we're kind of moving into more of the rumor section because that was basically a rumor, and so is everything coming forward here. Apparently, an 18.4 beta came out. And again, sadly, mm-hmm. Siri is not upgraded in that. But there is something that someone mentioned, a new home device category. So in looking at the code... listed alongside the others that already exist, such as iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, and Reality, which is the Vision Pro. HomePods already have their own category called Audio. There's a new one called Home, mm-hmm. which means going to support a new type of device. Mm-hmm. And this is probably that HomePod with the screen that we've been talking mm-hmm. about for
right,
quite a
right.
while. That's what's, again, supposed to have been out like any day now, but I think that's been delayed too.
Oh, no.
That's been delayed, possibly, according to Mark Gurman, until later this year. They're calling it the HomePad.
Right. Mm. It makes sense. Yeah, HomePad.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the idea of a HomePod and an iPad together. So, again, that's been delayed. So, Yeah.
This is going to be a whole different OS, right? I mean, that mock-up that it's on the screen is showing the Home app of an iPad, but it should be something different.
Right. And also, let me see if that's listed here. Yeah, there is something new that also they noticed in 18.4 that they think the Apple Home device is going to be integrated with News Plus recipes. Okay, sounds a little crazy, but Apple announced that 18.4 includes a new food section in Apple News, which provides thousands of curated recipes. So mm-hmm. the implementation aims to make recipes simple and intuitive to follow. There's also, they have built a new API called Cooking Kit to manage recipes in Apple News Plus. It has several app intents which connect the framework to other parts of the system, such as Spotlight and Siri. Users mm-hmm. will be able to search for recipes based on specific ingredients, for example. That would tie in very nicely with a home pad in the kitchen.
Oh, you can't pick it up.
Pardon?
Oh, well, I was just thinking that I would want to use my phone, point the camera to my fridge. Mm-hmm. It'll tell me I have Dr. Peppers and Hot Pockets. And that's about it.
It'd tell you to go shopping.
Yeah. How do you cook something with this?
I've created a shopping list for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
you might consider some vegetables. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, as Vincent said too, it tell you what you can make. You know, you can take the Hot Pockets and slice them and pour the Dr. Pepper in, freeze it, and then you got a Dr. Pepper pop.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. There are things out there that do this now, though, right? You give it a list of ingredients and it comes up with a recipe.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there are. I don't cook. Right. We don't really cook in our household. I guess I guess we cook, but we don't cook. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure there's many apps that do this.
So if it's tied into this new home pad, I should be able to turn to the home pad, say, hey, Siri, I have this, and this ingredients. What can I make with it? And it should pop up and give you an actual She's already trying to do it. Okay.
Then wouldn't it be cool that you could then it would send messages out to like your family that lives close and say, hey, this is what your mom and dad are cooking tonight. Are you interested? And then they can respond back and say, we'll be there in a half hour. I mean, you could have a whole party set up with this thing.
Or if you're missing an ingredient, it could reach out to your your nearest friends nearby and ask them if you can borrow that.
Everyone in the cul-de-sac could send a message out.
Whatever it is. Yep. Yeah. All right. Getting kind of silly.
That's kind of cool.
We'll see what this ends up being at this point. I have an idea that based on what we talked about last episode about that Luxo lamp.
Yeah.
That's what this is. That this home pad, you'll be able to gesture it, right? Give it gestures to do things, to turn, to move, or whatever. I think it's all connected somehow.
I don't know. I'd be pleasantly surprised if it ever came out.
So, if what?
If it ever came out.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm not quite sure what the holdup is for the home pad here. I guess... If it's just enough hardware to run intelligence, or what the experience might be, I'm still thinking about like where would you put this thing? Is it in the kitchen, like with the cooking recipe, or is it like in the living room?
Mm-hmm. I guess. Along?
Or you pick it up; it's portable.
You know? Is it if it's your hub? Mm-hmm. Where would you want that?
It's somewhere between my kitchen and dining room.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah.
So, but. You know, they what did they mention? You have one in every room or something. They communicate with each other.
Oh, that's fancy.
Yeah.
More one in every room.
That's what they said. That's what they said. I couldn't believe it. Oh. But, you know, I think it might be held up because of Siri.
Yeah. Okay.
They haven't been able to get that working, and this may be dependent on it. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe a big part of it, so they can't release it until... Sounds like the hardware is done, right?
Mm. Yeah. Maybe because this one, you actually talk to it.
Yeah.
It's hard to type on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You're just poking at the screen.
Right. So you'd have to have a really smart version of Siri to make that usable. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll see. All right. Moving on to the patent of the week.
Patent corner.
We need a jingle. Hello.
That's right.
Apple won 43 utility patents the other day covering an Apple Watch band with wrist detection. This is kind of crazy. Watch bands with detection of a user's wrist and or characteristics thereof. So proximity sensors are capable of detecting the presence of a target without physical contact. They generally emit electromagnetic radiation, measure the return signal, and identify the location of the target based on the profile of the return signal.
Mm-hmm.
Radar, right? Kind of?
Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't bats, isn't that how a bat works?
Lighter.
Yeah. Sonar. However, there's a Batman joke in there somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but... However, it says for users who prefer to wear their watch loosely against the wrist, such a proximity sensor may cause unintentional locking of the watch or other undesirable consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So they say it may be beneficial to develop alternate methods or devices to more accurately determine the configuration and location of a wearable device relative to the user. So they want it to be able to know that you actually do have a watch on.
Mm-hmm.
It says characteristics can be measured to detect in which of the various configurations the watch band is in. For example, if the watch band include a conductive trace that changes its resistance when the watch band changes its configuration. So they say it can change based on the stretching of the watch band, the bending of the watch band, or the securement and release of an engagement element. Clasp, hook, whatever. The watch or another device can perform one or more operations based on the detected characteristic and configuration of the watch band. And then they go further example. So the watch can respond to a detection by granting or restricting access to one or more features of the watch. Interesting. The watch can use a detection to further detect the size of a user's wrist. So if you have a small wrist and suddenly someone with a larger wrist trying to put it on, it would think that you're stealing it, that it's not yours, and would lock the, I don't know.
Shock you and call 911 or something.
Yeah. The watch can use a detection to further detect a movement activity or gesture of the user, and detection to further detect the health metric of the user, such as blood pressure.
This is interesting.
It is.
I mean, it's not necessarily a band you wear around your wrist, perhaps, but it's a band you connect so you can measure blood pressure on
your arm. Part of that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yep. Something we'll never see.
So this is adding 43 patents to the 1,037 they've already gotten for a band that we'll never see, like you said.
Oh, yeah. These, I don't know why they're doing them, to stop other people from doing them.
Maybe.
They're stifling innovation is what they're doing here. Unless they actually do something with it.
Well, I think engineers might get paid on patents, too.
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
All right. Speaking of speculation, let's keep moving down this road. Maybe it's not too early to talk about the Apple Watch Ultra 3 coming later this year, which will be 2 years since the previous model, right? Because the only thing we got this past year was a color, right? We didn't really get any changes to the Ultra 2. So, yeah, it'll have been 2 years. And so there's a lot of room for enhancement. Number one, they're saying this again, Mark Gurman from Bloomberg says hypertension detection. Blood pressure monitoring should be the next major health feature coming first to the Ultra 3. It won't give you the exact measurements of your blood pressure, but it will track your blood pressure and know if it's trending upward and send an alert if hypertension is detected.
Man, I feel this is going to go off all the time.
Yes. And as it should.
As it should, yes.
Yes. You should be aware when something like that's happening. Because right now, it's a silent, they call it the silent killer.
Yeah.
Because you don't know. There are no signs for you physically that it's happening.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it is quite dangerous. So, yeah, that's a good thing. We'll see how well that works. So apparently Apple's been working on this for quite a while and they wanted to release it last year. And again, we're not able to. Okay. Next, brighter display. The Apple Watch Series 10 surpasses the Ultra 2 in terms of display technology. So obviously they have to upgrade it. The Series 10 has the LTP 03 OLED, the always on retina, while the current Ultra has an LTP02 technology, the previous generation. So what that gives the Series 10 is a faster refresh rate in the always on mode. So you can get the live ticking of seconds on the hand of a watch when it's not awake, right? Similarly, the Apple Watch Series 10 has a wide angle OLED, up to 40% brighter when viewed at an angle. Again, both of these things the Ultra 3 must have, I think, coming up. And then a new chip, of course, right? Currently, the Ultra features the S9 chip, but the Series 10 introduced the S10 chip, which is more powerful and more compact. So a newer chip would free up internal space in the Ultra, they're saying, and maybe a larger battery. If they decide to make an S11 chip, would actually be more powerful or new features and new capabilities it could build in. Satellite technology, that's another thing we mentioned.
We did,
the Apple Watch Ultra 3 will be probably the first watch to get that, to connect to a satellite network to send texts or cellular when your cellular network and Wi-Fi are unavailable. So right now, Garmin, I think, offers that sort of thing for off-grid emergencies. So it's a good competitive thing they need to do. Currently, they don't charge for it, but that may change, right? And then this one is interesting, 5G connectivity. So apparently Apple plans to eliminate the Qualcomm modem used in the Ultra.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to replace it, not with their own C1 modem that we just talked about on the new 16E or any other Apple chip. They're going to switch from Qualcomm to MediaTek.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's one mm-hmm. of the few companies capable of designing 5G modems for this type of thing. It's called RedCap. Mm-hmm. It's designed for connected devices and wearables that do not need standard 5G speeds. You don't need all that horsepower of 5G, right, for a watch.
Hmm.
Currently, we're still using 4G LTE on your watch, even though 5G has been in the phone since 2020.
Hmm.
So that obviously can change.
Dumb question.
Sure, go ahead.
That doesn't the 5G versus the 4G LTE.
Mm-hmm.
For voice, would you notice anything, or is it more for data?
I think it's more for it's probably a combination of both.
Okay.
And maybe better connectivity.
Yeah. And, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. The connectivity more robust and tighter.
Yeah.
And
okay. I would think lag time, whatever, you know, I mean.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You don't need. That's the thing I think why they're trying to go to this other company is that you don't need a full-blown power of 5G. You're not downloading gigs of data to your
watch.
That's
where I was going. Correct.
You're not watching video. You're not streaming live video. Although, hey, could be kind of cool. How would you like to get live video on your watch of your cameras at home, right?
Just cooking recipes.
Yeah, there you go.
when my hypertension goes off, it connects and tells me what I need to eat and cook because it'll help with my
there
blood pressure. Yeah.
And then the last thing here, I think it's last.
It was, yeah. The next one's last.
The Series 10 completely redid the back, right? They re-engineered metal back, a larger charging coil, and an integrated antenna. The Apple Watch Ultra currently features a ceramic and sapphire crystal on the back rather than the metal. So it seems like they would upgrade that as well. The Series 10 style casing design, because it enables better cellular performance and faster charging. So the Series 10 with that metal back can charge to 80% in just 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
15 minutes faster than the Series 9. The Ultra 2 takes 60 minutes to charge to 80%. Big difference. Bigger battery still, but. So there's a lot of things outlined here that we're going to probably see in the Ultra 3 come September.
So with all of the satellite technology and connectivity, you won't be able to disappear without a trace.
Mm-hmm. Right. because they skipped a year, they're able to make this seem like it's, you know, all new.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a big change, right?
Yeah, I don't think it's changing looks. There's nothing in here about that, right?
Yeah, how many nits did you say?
Currently, it's at 3.
3,000 nits?
Yeah.
Dang, that's pretty bright. Okay. Mm-hmm. I just had to look up how high can you go with the nit count? And apparently, outdoor signage, like freaking Times Square, is like 7,000 nits.
So, oh, is it really?
So, yeah.
We got room for improvement then.
You guys have room for improvement. Okay. Like the most extreme case on an HDR is 10,000 nits for military applications. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
10,
go around blinding people.
I think you need some sunscreen in front of that thing.
It's probably.
Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to nits, I want all the nits. whatever you can give me, I'll take it. For
really?
The better. Yeah, why not?
It's like you turn on a flashlight, it's like this laser beam.
You can always turn it down.
I guess
well,
so.
Yeah.
You won't even need the flashlight on your watch. You just turn your watch and it's a flashlight.
Yes.
I mean when I first got the Ultra, it was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What is the 10 up to now? Is it 2,000?
I think so, something like that. That's most consumer HD products.
Yeah. Let's see here. The Apple Watch should know this, series, because I'm wearing one right now, series 10 mitts. 2000, yeah, mm-hmm. is the maximum.
Sounds right. Yep.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. So, but it can dial down to one.
That's mm-hmm. that's true.
One nit.
That's true.
And again, that's what they're trying to do, I think, with the new Ultra 3 is to give it that mm-hmm. screen, the screen performance. Mm-hmm. That's what they're looking for. All right. Any other rumors you want to mention on the Ultra 3?
Nope.
No? All right.
Hopefully last new bands.
The what?
Hopefully new bands, too.
Yeah, could, probably yeah. just we new colors.
Yeah. Mm.
Probably just new colors.
That's part of the coolest thing about them, that was the bands.
Oh, I bought every one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I spent as much on bands as I did on the watch. Mm. But I've got them, you know, the really cool, all three versions of it, yep, right? Yep. Uh-huh. The Ocean Band, the Alpine Loop, and the, I'm blanking on the last one. The whatever.
The running one, right? The
Yeah, what was it? What's it called, though? The
Sweatpants.
No. Huh? Trail, thank you.
Trail.
Gosh, right. It's been a long day. Been a long day. Okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know what's really funny? I'm wearing a Trail Loop right now.
You are?
Yes, I didn't even know the name of it. Okay. Couldn't even come up with it. All right, yeah. Final story, I promise. This is pretty cool, I think. Steve Jobs is going to be featured on a 2026 United States coin as part of the American Innovation $1 coin program. Didn't even know this existed. So,
neither did I.
The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, nominated Steve Jobs to be featured on the dollar coin as part of this program. It was started in 2018. It's a 12-year program to celebrate innovations and inventors across the United States. Every year, the U.S. Mint will release 4 new dollar coins under the program that represent each of the 50 states by order of ratification or admission to the Union. Okay? California will be represented as one of the 4 coins next year. Every coin under this program has a common head or obverse design that depicts the Statue of Liberty, along with a mark that's unique to every year. The reverse or tail side depicts an invention or an inventor for each of the states and territories. And you can go to the U.S. Mint website. I'll put a link in the show notes for this article and for that. But so you can have a look at that. On February 18th, the Citizens Coinage Advisory Committee held a meeting to review the design candidates for the dollar coin for California. And they show you the designs that have been submitted, mm-hmm. one of which could end up being the actual coin. And they put in the video, I guess because this is a public thing, of them critiquing and all voting, kind of, or putting in their 2 cents, if you will, about which one they thought worked best. I watched this video. I had flashbacks of nightmares of client meetings where they completely destroy your creative work.
Yeah,
and they don't have a clue. And they pick always the wrong ones. if you watch, I couldn't watch the whole thing. I turned it off. I couldn't get through it.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, the designs are here. I want your opinion. What do you think of these designs? There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 6 different designs here.
Yeah. Question is whether or not you want young Steve or old Steve.
Right. Yeah. There's a young version of Steve. There's some without him in it at all.
Right, right.
That
a couple
kind of focus on that focuses on technology. Yeah.
Do you want him the one where he's like high on LSD in the field? You know, sitting cross leg in the field there?
Actually, that's the one of the ones I'm kind of leaning towards. Yeah.
Yeah, I would
with
too.
The make like something it. Wonderful because that was his big thing.
Yeah, right.
The other one is more the older Steve Jobs, like with his turtleneck and the glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
Like in the middle of a presentation. But that's it. It just says U.S., United States of America, California, and his name. There's nothing about make something wonderful or, you know, there's nothing about what he did. in it.
The one with the keyboard, like he's on the screen with the keyboard, they should put like one more thing on there, and that's the one I would have gone for.
Yeah, well, that one looks to me like something that, it looks like a PC. I mean, it doesn't even look like a Mac, an Apple thing.
Yeah, I'm sad. Did Johnny not get a chance to design this?
That's what I said. I'm like, now, what's funny about this is if you watch the video, they do mention somewhere in there, or maybe it was, and I was reading in the article, but that the Steve Jobs Foundation actually has a favorite choice.
Mm.
And he runs that foundation with Steve Jobs' wife, right?
Mm.
So in a way, he's chimed in, but I don't think he didn't design any of these.
Hmm.
And you have to know
that
none of these designs would have been approved by Steve Jobs.
Not even close.
He would have hated them all. Yeah. Yep. And don't get me started on the final minting of the coins, the precision, the tolerances, the metal it's made of. None of it would have been up to his standards.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't understand why he didn't do it. Now, the one that the Steve Jobs Foundation liked and is recommending of the two big ones here, mm-hmm. it's the him cross-legged with his hands there in the middle sitting. Mm. Yeah, that's the one they recommend.
I'm curious. I don't know how many coins, if I've ever seen a coin with a quote or something in the back other than the United States.
Yeah, it's because I don't know what the rest other coins look like in this. Mm-hmm. I guess I should go to the Mint website.
I'm going to. I wrote it down.
See what else. Is there?
Well, you know, and I think it was year 2000. They did the same thing for states for quarters. I have two sets of it. Every year they did the four. That was kind of cool, right? So this is just people instead of events or things, I guess, or is it all people?
I think it's inventors or inventions.
Gotcha. Okay.
Now, so, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I definitely wrote this down to go check it out because I didn't know about this and I really enjoyed getting that other set.
Yeah, this is cool.
Now, here's something else I didn't mention. The coin will be minted for production sometime next year. Mm-hmm. It is not minted for circulation. You'll be able to purchase them in uncirculated proof or even reverse proof conditions, whether in individual bags or rolls or even in proof sets. They will be minted for that year only, so their limited quantities will be worth a lot for a collector.
Yeah,
so these are for collectors only.
You can buy some right now. You can buy George Washington Carver, $25. No, it's $100.
Okay.
Yeah. Forget it.
That's too much. $123.
So, I'm dying to get my hands on the, and I think the one to get would be the proof sets, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that
mm-hmm.
would be the ultimate is to have that.
Four $1 coins for $32. There you go.
Done.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate collector coin. Now, what I wish they would have done, and they probably don't have permission, in this article, they show that image of Steve Jobs that's on the cover of the autobiography.
Yeah, that's right.
That mm-hmm. should have been on one of the coins designs.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Even that picture of him, right? Just looking, that's better than any of the coins.
Yeah, I actually don't like, I mean, the one of him sitting cross-legged is the best of the group. Is it the best one they could make? No way.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. It's kind of like the best of the worst.
Yeah. So, it's like people who did this didn't understand
mm-hmm.
Steve Jobs or what Apple made. The tree that turns into circuits? What does that have to do with Apple?
Mm-hmm.
Is that an Apple tree? I don't know. Does it matter? Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with Steve Jobs.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, I don't know. It's just
that was a bogey.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, watching that video, I couldn't do it. It was too painful.
Well, isn't that a marketing thing where you make one of the choices just the worst crap out there to make the other ones look better? I mean, didn't you do that?
I never did that, Chris.
However, there is a danger in doing that. And this video proves that they were picking the worst ones. They were giving you, you know, detailed reasons why. And I'm like, oh my God, you don't know what you're talking about. And yeah, and like I'm sorry, said, Apple is all about simplicity. Do any of these look simple to you? And clean? No.
Well, like you said, it's being all done by people that never probably met him, talked to him, or knew about him.
Yeah. Yeah. If they would just have read his autobiography or his biography, they would have known, right?
Yeah.
I mean, anyway. I think the front of the coin is clean and simple. But the back the is great. Just a mess. Yeah.
The front is nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So we'll see what they pick. But cool. Who else, you know, I mean, what other, who else would be put on the, on a coin?
Well, that's what I thought when I was reading the story. I'm like, how far away am I from being on a coin? What does it take to be on a coin in the United States of America?
I think you have to put a dent in the universe like he did.
Exactly. I'm like, that's what's amazing about it. When you think about a normal person like me and far from a coin. And then this guy's on a coin, right? So it's quite amazing.
I wonder what like his counterparts think about this, like Bill Gates and you know, people he was, you know, in competition with. What do they think about that, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Will Bill Gates ever get put on a coin? I don't know.
He wouldn't want to be on a $1 coin.
right. All right. That's it for the news, right? I think we're done.
I think so.
All right. Moving on to what we like this week. We'll get there in just a second. But first, a quick reminder that the Apple Watchcast is actually brought to you by the wonderful support of our Patreon subscribers. So if you become a patron of the Apple Watchcast for as little as a dollar a month, you can help us to keep producing this show. Check out our page. It's at patreon.com/Apple Watchcast. You can subscribe there, become a patron of the Apple Watchcast, and a big, big thanks to all of our patrons. You make this show possible. All right. Let's see. Who wants to go first here? Chris, how about you go first?
You bet, Tom. Just a couple little things on some apps. One I like and one I tried to like. So I don't know, probably months ago, I reviewed the Notes app and some of the new things that came out in the Notes app. So I just wanted to highlight a couple things that I've really been using and I really like. When you create a list in Notes with bullet points or numbers, and then you have like a title or a you know, an underlined master title with the bullets underneath it, you know, if you select title, heading, or subheading as the format for that text, it puts a little down arrow to the left of the wording, and you can click and collapse the tab, collapse the list. So it's kind of cool. So if you have a number of long lists and you want to kind of collapse them up to shorten up the note or just look at a certain list, you can do that now on Notes. So very cool. And I just upgraded to iOS 18 on my Mac, and I can do it across all my devices now. So that's a little hip pocket information, little tip for you. And I also like...
Oh, it does do that. Sorry, I was just looking at it. It's like, how did I not notice that?
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, cool.
And the other one is the color, right? You can kind of marker something with a color. You know, you hit the format and on the right side, there'll be a little marker and you can hit the color and there's five colors, purple, pink, orange, mint, and blue. And you can now color text and highlight it like you have a highlighter. So those are cool, two little cool things in Notes. If you haven't done, I'd recommend doing it. It really helps organize and continue to use Notes. So I like that. Those are two things I like. The other app I tried to like and tried to do is the Journal app. Have you guys ever tried the Journal app?
I have not.
I have.
Have you?
I've never been deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, you know what? I said, I'm going to do it for a month. And 5 days later, I'm like, oh my God, no way. I just can't do it. I know some people can go religiously and write their thoughts down. I couldn't do it. Now, the app itself is actually, there's a lot to it, and you can do a lot of things. So, I mean, it wants to know how you feel today. You can go, you know, very unpleasant to very pleasant, right? And you can put in the location where you did it. You can do a voice memo, a picture. I mean, you could do all kinds of things on it. And the first couple of days, I was like, okay, I can see this. But I'm just not – there's things I do, like I can exercise. I can read books, and I'm very, very religious about making that a habit. I couldn't make this a habit. I don't know why. But I may try again, because it is kind of cool. Go like a week later and go back on what you did a week before. You're like, boy, I never even thought I wrote that a week ago. So it is kind of – and then also it kind of I did like the kind of – it kind of tracks how you feel. And that can be helpful. Not that I don't like the app, I'm kind of neutral on it because I don't think it's in my DNA to kind of document something every day. But anyway, if you haven't tried the app, try it. And it sounds like you have, Vincent.
Yeah, I don't force myself to write daily. I mean, once in a while, you know, you want to get stuff down. And you're like, okay, I've been mulling on this problem for a long time, and I'll see what happens. Or what I'm frustrated about, and then you go back and you read it, and you're like, yeah, I got past that. That's cool.
Oh, good. That's very good. Yeah. I might do that. Maybe just do it when I need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Fair. Good input. Why don't you send me yours so I can see them? No, I'm kidding. So that's what I have this week.
Cool. That would fall under the category of TMI, right?
TMI. Yeah.
Too much information. Okay.
Yes, probably.
If he starts sending each other journal notes. Mm-hmm. All right, Vincent, what do you like this week?
All right, my latest addiction here is Only Murders in the Building.
All right.
Oh, okay. Man. Okay, so this is on Disney.
No spoilers now for people.
No spoilers. Yeah, okay. No spoilers. Right. It's on Disney. So we've got on the Apple TV Hulu app, which, by the way, I'm not quite sure when Hulu was I guess it was acquired by Disney, and then they started including Hulu shows in the Disney app. So got into that because I'm a big fan of Steve Martin, and then obviously with Martin Short is the other character in there, and then we've got Selena Gomez, and they team up to solve murders in their New York apartment building, and it's they're what, 4 seasons in, and it's about I think there's rumors for a 5th and final season. So it's based upon, I don't know if you've ever listened, basically it's a spinoff, like kind of like Serial, the podcast, right? So these folks, they're trying to solve a murder and create a podcast at the same time, which, you know, is near and dear to me. So it's fantastic with all the running around with mics and recording their thoughts and all that stuff. It's
That's what they
hilarious.
Do on the show.
Yeah.
They do. Okay. Confession. We started to watch it.
Right.
But it started to become popular. We didn't tune in immediately. Watched like the first 4 episodes and gave up.
Oh, it's
and there
so
was
funny.
Not a single microphone or podcast.
There's
mentioned.
A microphone. There's microphones. There's podcasts okay. mentioned. Yeah, yeah.
But not in the first 4 episodes.
Okay. Okay, maybe not. But yeah, it gets there. It's pretty funny. Tina Fey is in the 1st and 2nd season. I think she is. Maybe a little bit in the 3rd as well. So they bring a lot of comedy in there. There's a lot of cliffhangers. Great storytelling, I think. And they always typically have one guest star every season. So that's pretty cool to just kind of see. And then you're just kind of following along to see how, you know, find out who the murderer is. Because it always starts out with a murder. And then it kind of does a flashback. And then these folks are trying to unpack what's happened. So it is just a great binge-worthy type of show. And they've got all 4 seasons out on Hulu now. So it's pretty awesome. The only problem is it's Hulu with ads is what I have with the basic plan. So I know everything about hims and hers.
There you go. And it's every commercial break, isn't it?
Every commercial break. Oh, and Drive Time. We used to work on that account.
That's right. We did.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I forgot about that. Yeah. It's funny to see commercials of things for companies that you previously worked on.
Yeah.
You know, and critique what they're currently doing. But yeah, we just recently, I think within the last 4 or 5 months, upgraded to get the Hulu, to get the ads out of there. I couldn't stand it anymore. I gave in, I folded. They were doing a deal.
Yeah.
And I had to like cancel my Disney. and sign up for the Disney Hulu bundle without ads.
Without ads, okay.
And boom, that did it. So,
yeah,
you might want to do that.
Maybe
if you're already paying for Disney.
Yeah,
it's cheaper. I'm
trying to work through Shogun as well as The Bear, which also has ads. Right?
Oh, don't no, it ruins the whole show. To break that up with, oh, you can't. Woo. That show is nothing but a buildup of intensity. Like turning up, similar to turning up the heat when you're cooking.
Yeah.
And to have it interrupted by commercials just kind of lets the air out of it. But
you know what the best thing about Shogun is? You can't multitask.
You gotta
be very, very attentive to the show. That even makes it better though, because how often are you sitting there like, of course, I don't do that much, to tell you the honest truth. The only time I pick up my phone when I'm watching TV is if I'm falling asleep to try to keep me awake. But
are they doing a second season of
They are.
Nice. It was good. It was really good.
Yeah, authentic acting, authentic language is a massively amazing show.
And they swept through awards. I mean,
oh yeah, they deserved every one of them too.
Yeah. Okay, we didn't get together on this, but I'm gonna continue the theme here for what I like this week. I'm gonna geek out a little bit here because what I like this week was something I saw today, which is the first trailer for the upcoming second season of Andor. Have you either of you seen the first season of Andor?
Is it good?
This is one of the absolute best Star Wars series that Disney has made since they bought Lucasfilm.
I like the actor a lot. He's good. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Interrupting you.
Diego Luna?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, Andor this is kind of strange to follow, but it's a prequel to a prequel, right? It is the story that led up to the Rogue One movie.
Yeah.
And that movie takes place immediately before the original New Hope, right? The first Star Wars movie. Mm-hmm. Some consider the Rogue One the best movie since the original trilogy, and I think they're right. It is a phenomenal movie. It's my favorite thing they've done since the original three. Anyway, Andor tells the story of one of the lead characters in Rogue One and how he became involved in the rebellion that led to Luke Skywalker and the downfall of the Empire. The first season is kind of a slow start, but it builds in intensity, and it's a very complex, well-written show. So if you do go back to watch that, stick with it. Don't bail. It gets really, really good. Unfortunately, it was released kind of during the end of the COVID pandemic, and we've kind of had to wait during the actors and the writer strike. So this has been delayed a while, but now the second season finally premieres April 22nd. The trailer is amazingly action packed, and they bring back several of the main actors from the Rogue One movie to tie it all together. So apparently this second season ends right where the Rogue One movie picks up. It's like a perfect connection.
What streaming service?
Disney.
Disney. And it's also got Alan Tudyk in. You know who he is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's great.
I think he does the voice of a...
Ah, okay.
Of something. Okay. Anyway, the Gollum. The what?
Gollum, right?
No.
No?
No. Really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't think that was Tudyk. He's the resident alien.
Series.
Oh, that.
Yeah. That guy. Anyway, the trailer, this is amazing when you watch it. It uses a modern song instead of the Star Wars theme, but it works really well. Anyway, the release schedule is different as well. The first three episodes will drop all at once. And then every week for the next 3 weeks, you get three episodes each week. So there's a total of 12 episodes. That's kind of an interesting way to release it. It's not like three and then you wait a week for, you know, a week. Yeah. You get three, and three. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I can't wait. Check out the trailer. It's going to be great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, and there's 12 episodes in a season.
There's a lot. This could have been a movie or two, I think, when you look at the footage and the performances and stuff. I mean, it's just that level of...
Holy cow, 9 point... I mean, I've never seen these ratings on IMDb, except for like The Sopranos and some of those other shows. 9.5?
Yeah.
9.1?
For the first season, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna start it tomorrow morning on the treadmill.
Oh, that's so good.
You got something to watch.
Yeah. I'm going to do that.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I told you I was going to geek out, so I'm done.
It's very much in the style of Rogue One, which is the best style.
Yes. Yeah. But just the way the first season ended, that whole thing was just like... amazing. Anyway, the same guy, Tony Gilroy, I think is the producer and showrunner, did Rogue One. Mm-hmm. And he's done both seasons of this Andor.
Mm-mm-mm.
So.
Oh, I was thinking of Andy Serkis. Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis is the Gollum guy.
Gollum, right. Yep. Yeah.
He's got another movie coming out too, by the way. Mm. Another Lord of the Rings with Gollum. Yeah. The Search for Gollum or something like that. Anyway.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Anything else before we notice the scratch on the corner of our watch face and have no idea how it got there?
Don't make me go look for it.
I found it. I found it. If you're looking for one, nice little, about a quarter inch little scrape. I'm like, how did that happen?
Knock on wood.
Yeah. Anyway,
I am surprised about the durability of the 10 so far, even though I have knocked it against things. I've always cringed.
And this is my 10 I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's not the Ultra. It's the 10.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, I know. All right. Well, that is all the time we do have for this episode. Thank you, Vincent and Chris, as always, for being here. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to everyone out there for listening. If you'd like to support our show, check out our Patreon page. It's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. It's a great way to help us to continue to produce this show. So check it out. Again, it's at patreon.com/AppleWatchcast. Links to the stuff we talk about can also be found on our website, and that's at applewatchcast.com. You can follow us in Apple Podcasts or any other podcast service you prefer. If you have a question about the Apple Watch or about our show, send us an email at comments@applewatchcast.com. As always, thanks for listening. Until our next show, you're on your own time.
Remember to rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts.
My precious.